A significant feature of Persian poetry that distinguishes it from most verse written in a European language is that almost all of it, from the earliest poems written over 1,000 years ago to the present day, remains relatively accessible to a contemporary speaker of the language. The 17th century English poet Edmund Waller bemoaned the fact that already his contemporaries could no longer easily read the works of the 14th century poet Chaucer. But who can hope his lines should long last in a daily changing tongue? We write in sand, our language grows, and like the tide our work o'erflows. Chaucer his sense can only boast, the glory of his numbers lost. And as if to confirm Waller's complaint, it was in Waller's lifetime that passages from Chaucer were first translated into contemporary English by Dryden. The Persian language, especially its literary form, has remained far more stable over the past millennium than is true of most European languages. There have been some changes of vocabulary and grammar, but by Western standards they are minor. A modern-day Iranian can read the works of the 10th century poet Ferdowsi with about the same ease as a modern-day English speaker can read those of 17th century authors such as Waller and Dryden. There are some difficulties for a non-specialist in the period, but they do not obscure what is usually the obvious sense and rhetorical force of any given passage. A side effect of the fact that poems from centuries ago can seem and sound relatively contemporary to the Persian reader is that such poems could be, and were, taken as models by poets from a much later date. And this in turn has led to a quite extraordinary continuity of poetic rhetoric from the earliest poems until at least the mid-19th century, and even beyond that period. There is perhaps something else at work in this rhetorical continuity. All poetry is artificial in its language, but poetry in English has frequently tended to aim at language really used by men, as Wordsworth put it. And when this is the case, it tries as far as possible to disguise its artifice. By contrast, pre-modern Persian poetry tends to display and delight in its artifice. To say a poem in English sounds artificial is to condemn it. The same remark about a pre-modern Persian poem could well elicit the response, "Of course it does. It's a poem, isn't it?" And so the fact that a particular metaphor or rhetorical trope has been used by many other poets and is thought of as intrinsically poetic rather than as colloquial is not so much a barrier to its continued use as a validation of it. The poets Ayyugi, 10th, 11th centuries, and Nezami, 12th century, both say that the poet is like the woman who tends to a bride's physical appearance before her wedding. That is, the poet uses his or her skill and artifice to make the subject as dazzlingly beautiful as possible. Other common metaphors used by poets themselves to describe poetry are that it is something woven, such as brocade, or a piece of jewellery, such as a pearl necklace. All three of these metaphors emphasize the aesthetic, artificial, fabricated, and artisanal nature of the craft, rather than, say, its sincerity or its truth-telling qualities, as they are foregrounded in much Western poetry, to hold the mirror up to nature, as Shakespeare's Hamlet says. To indicate something of the density and complexity of this artifice in pre-modern Persian poetry, here is a translation of a very early poem that is made up almost entirely of motifs that belonged to a common stock, widely utilized by other poets for centuries to come. The poem is by the 10th century poet Rabi'a, who, as is appropriate for this volume, is the earliest known woman poet to write in Persian. "The garden shows so many flowers, as though Mani had painted their resplendent glow. Dawn's breezes never bore Tibetan musk. How is the world so musky when they blow? Are Majnun's eyes within the clouds, that they shed Layli's cheeks' hue on each rose below? Like wine within an agate glass, his tears have filled each tulip with their crimson glow. Raise up the wine bowl, raise it generously, since bad luck dogs deniers who say no. Narcissi glow with silver and with gold. Iskastra's crown their shining petals show. Like nuns in purple cowls, the violets bloom. Do they turn into Christians as they grow? The poem is a bahariye, that is, a poem welcoming the spring, a form that is still, 1,000 years later, a recognized category of Persian poetry. And it is set in the archetypal beautiful place for Persian culture, the locus amenus to end them all, a garden.